voyage, voyage. Plus loin que la nuit et le jour. Voyage, voyage. Dans l'espace inouï de l'amour. Voyage, voyage. Sur l'eau d'un creux d'un fleuve indien. Voyage, voyage. Et jamais. L'Amazon, chez les blacks, chez les zik, chez les jaunes. Voyage, voyage, dans tout le royaume. Sur les dunes du Sahara, des îles Fidji au Fujiyama. Voyage, voyage, ne t'arrête pas. Au-dessus des barbelés,
pleasure tonight to have with me Mr. Morten Veland from Sirenia. Hello, Morten.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. And you?
I'm good, thanks a lot.
I'm sure that you don't remember me, but I made you an interview a long, long time ago. I think 15 years ago, it was live on Tunisian radio.
Okay, cool.
And the show is called Zanzana. It's got the same name from that time. So, the actuality of Mr. Morten Veland and Sirenia is this. The album Riddles, Runes and Revelation that came out Friday. Just fresh. Thank you for the interview, Morten. What do you feel by the album now is on the market?
It feels great. You know, it's been a long time working on this album. And also it was kind of a complicated album to make due to the pandemics that broke out like just a few days before we were supposed to start our recording sessions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was kind of complicated, and we had to change our plans a lot. And Emmanuel's ticket was cancelled, and we had to rebook that several times. Always ended up being cancelled again. And so at the end of the day, the album was delayed something like 6 months or so. So yeah, it was a challenging album to make for sure. So it feels, you know, even greater to finally have it finished and also released at this moment.
Yeah, when an album is finished and go to the market, is it the same sensation than I don't know, having a baby, for instance?
I wouldn't take it that far, but it's it definitely means a lot. You know, it's it kind of marks the end of a 2 year period of work.
Yeah.
So it always feels, you know, really great to have finished that project, you know, and finalize it and release it. And of course, after working so long on it, it's also, you know, really exciting to share it with our fans and to hear what they think about the album. And I mean, the only thing that is a bit frustrating with this album and releasing it, you know, is that due to the pandemics, you know, we're not able to go touring as we normally do when we release a new album. And after spending so much time in the studio, we always look forward to go traveling and playing again. And with this album, it's going to be different, at least for some time. I really don't know when it will be possible for us to go on tour again, but I definitely don't think it will be anytime soon. You know, I don't really have high expectations of the time now, at least not before summer. Hopefully after summer, we will see some really positive signs and good progress. And so hopefully, you know, by the end of the year, things will come back to a more normal kind of state.
Yeah, we hope, we all hope this, because we fed up not going to concerts.
Yeah, exactly. It's terrible. It's been such a strange year. 2020 was a complete disaster, and you know, 2021 seems to kind of continue in the same way and will for some time. So I think we're all kind of, you know, sick and tired of the COVID-19 by now. So yeah, we need some change for the positive very soon. I think all of us needs that.
Yeah, I hope that the vaccine will finish all this nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So this album is the 10th album of Cyrenia and 20 years of Cyrenia. Congratulations. It was a very, very long journey, a long run.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it really has been a long run, you know, 20 years. And, you know, looking back at this, you know, it doesn't really seem like 20 years at all. You know, it seems like more like 5 years or something like that. So I really do wonder where all those years went, you know.
Yeah.
But it's been a fantastic ride, you know. And we had a lot of fun over the years. You know, we've been working quite hard, releasing now our 10th album. So, you know, we also feel kind of fortunate, you know, to have been able to be around for so many years and to release so many albums, and that we still have fans, you know, that want to listen to our music. So we feel very honored about that. And it's always a pleasure for us, you know, to release a new album. And every time we put just as much energy and thought and hard work into our albums.
Yeah, one thing doesn't change with Cyrenia is the continual changing of lineups. In this album, now we have a new drummer, Michael Brutsch.
Yeah, Michael has been with us for some time now. He's been doing quite a bit of touring work for us. So we've been using session drummers for quite a long time. As our original drummer, Jonathan, he didn't always have the possibility to come on tour with us. So we've been quite used to working with session drummers also over the years. But now Michael joined us as a full-time member a few years ago, and you know, we're ready to tour a lot, you know, and this year was gonna be busier than ever. That was at least the plan, you know, but COVID-19 put a stop to that plan. So yeah, now we just gotta wait for possibilities to start touring again. But as soon as that possibility opens up, we're definitely gonna be ready to tour a lot, you know, and play for our fans as much as possible.
Yeah, we hope so. And third album with Emmanuel Zoldan. You have it's a French Norwegian band, huh? Because I got two French in Tyrania. Emmanuel Zoldan as a singer and Nils Courbaron as a guitarist.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, we have two guys from France now, and I'm from Norway and the drummer from England, so it's pretty much a French band at the moment.
Yeah, when there's a match France Norway on handball, I think it's a great great show, you know, between you or no.
Yeah, it's a good combination, you know. And me and Emmanuel, we have been working together for so many years, since 2003.
Yeah.
When she was recording with the choir. So we have been working together ever since 2003. And Nils has also been in a band for quite some years now. And yeah, I think that we have a really, really strong and professional lineup. And you know, we're also great friends, all of us. It's a really good climate in the band, so we always look forward to go on tour, you know, so we can spend time with each other and have that social thing on the road as well, in addition to doing great shows as well.
Morten, Emmanuel, you really changed her the course of her career, because she was destined to sing opera. She's a mezzo soprano, and now she's a metal singer.
Yeah, actually, she's doing both. So she's still working in the with the opera in between, and so she's a part-time opera singer and part-time metal singer. So I think that's a great variation in her line of work. You know, it's two completely different worlds, you know, the going on tour with a metal band and singing in the operas. So yeah, she definitely have some really nice variation in her work, I think.
Yeah. Question I have to ask you: when you compose an album and you get a very brilliant singer like Emmanuel, do you compose the melody and the singing part, knowing that she can do everything?
Yeah, I mean, that's like the privilege I have now with Emmanuel in the band, is that I can pretty much compose whatever I want and she'll be able to sing it. And, you know, we also been working together for so many years now that I know her voice really well, and about her singing qualities, and she has a lot of them. So I feel like I have really free hands, you know. It's I think every composer's dream, you know, to have that freedom to go in whatever direction that I want with each and every song. And it's fantastic. And I mean, the musical concept of Sirenia has always been about that kind of diversity, you know. Basically, we're a mix of a rock and a metal band, but we all always, you know, try to implement elements from all kinds of musical genres, you know, classical, goth rock, even black metal, death metal, electronic stuff, you know, just basically taking elements from all kinds of different genres and blending it with our sound. And this diversity, you know, and also incorporating a lot of dynamics in the arrangements and so on and so on. So that, you know, having such a versatile singer, that really adds to our concept, you know. So I really feel that it was an enrichment for the band to have Emmanuel as a singer.
Yeah, I heard Emmanuel singing opera, and you know, I saw her some recording on YouTube. Are you exploiting her voice at her maximum?
Could you repeat that question, please? I'm not sure if I could understand you correctly.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Thank you. Okay, sorry. I heard her singing, you know, opera. Are you exploiting the voice of Emmanuel at the maximum capability that she has?
Well, there's certainly a lot of different different things to take from, you know. We try with Serenia not to overdo the classical parts. We like to put some classical parts in between here and there, but more as an addition to the modern kind of style that we usually use. So, but I'm quite sure she still has a lot of, you know, unique ways of using her voice that we didn't get around to use yet, and for sure we're going to try to use some of that in the future. It's just, you know, trying to keep a nice balance on each album, bringing in the special kind of techniques and effects more as an addition, and trying not to also overdo it, but for sure there's going to be new and different stuff from the band in the future, you know, both with the music and with the vocal performances, I'm sure.
Yeah. Martin Villand, Riddles, Runes and Revelations, the new album of Serenia, 20 years after. What is the line that is, what is the... la ligne continue, how we say it in English. Sometimes I don't find my words, you know. What are the things that that are still Serenia label from the beginning to this album? I don't know if you understand me, because sometimes I don't understand myself.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think I understand what you mean. You know, I think in the music we've been keeping a lot of the elements, you know, that we've had from the beginning during our career. You know, that some of them have been coming and going. You know, like for example, some of our albums were really symphonic. Other albums were less symphonic. Some albums, for example, we used a lot of the extreme vocals, and in some album we used less of it. And for example, with this new album, I think that we made use of a lot of electronic elements. I think a lot of people were surprised by that, but still, the electronical elements is something that has been with us the whole time too. Even if you listen to our debut album from 2002, there's quite a bit of electronical elements in there. But on this new album, we definitely gave the electronical elements a bigger role to play. And we felt, you know, that was, you know, the direction that felt natural to go this time. Also used quite a bit of a retro sounding keyboard sounds, maybe inspired from the 80s and early 90s and so. So with every album, we always try to come up with something new. And for the next album, we're going to bring something new to the table as well. And which direction we'll go next time is too early to say. Maybe we'll keep the electronical elements, or maybe we will reduce them a lot with the next album. You never know. Normally, when I start writing new songs, I always tend to spend the first couple of months to experiment quite a lot and try to search for a new sound or a new direction in which I want to take the new material. And, you know, when I kind of find that new sound and new style, then I start working with the songs, you know, and taking it towards that direction. So I kind of like need to find a vision first, and then I start working heavily with the songs to try to bring that to that vision, you know, that I kind of had.
Yeah. Martin, what comes first? The songs, the competition, the composition, the lyrics, or the sound?
Sound. I normally search for a sound and kind of set up like a preset kind of thing, you know, like basics of how the sound will be. It's of course not 100%. It gets kind of adjusted along the way, and of course the finishing touches will be done in the mix and the mastering. But I try to set up an idea of how I want it to sound. That's pretty much the first thing I do, and then I start composing, and then it's always the music itself coming first, and towards the end I add the vocal melodies. The melodies I kind of have in my head along the process, you know. I don't really record them until the end, and along the way they tend to change a bit. And if I forget it, then I think that melody wasn't good enough, or it wasn't really meant to be. So I never record the vocal melodies until the very end. So the whole time I can kind of process them in my head and make adjustments and so on. And the last thing that I do is to write the lyrics, and the album title comes all in the end.
Yeah. What was the inspiration? What was the inspiration of the song for this new album?
Pretty much the same things as usual. You know, life in general is always a big inspiration, and I always also said that Norwegian winter is a great inspiration for me. Norway, you know, winters can be quite long, and they, you know, it gets really dark early in the evening, and it's tends to be very cold outside. So, you know, at this time of year we normally spend a lot of time indoors, and it's a kind of a relaxed atmosphere, and I tend to be very focused and inspired in winter, and I never kind of feel that I have to be other places, or I don't feel so much of that restlessness that I feel during summertime, for example. In summertime, I always want to do stuff, want to travel, go places, and all that kind of things. But in the winter, I don't feel that kind of restlessness. I feel very focused and creative, and so I tend to spend a lot of my time in the studio working and writing music and songs. And so yeah, I'm definitely really productive in wintertime.
And what was the inspiration of bringing more electronics in your music for this album?
I kind of found out that pretty early in the process when I was, you know, kind of searching for that new direction and experimenting. I also invested in a lot of new equipment for this album, a lot of keyboard stuff and such. And, you know, basically searching around for sounds that I thought were inspiring and sounded new and fresh to me. And so, yeah, then I basically just started building from there.
Yeah. And you said in a previous interview that one of the, there was another inspiration. It was the, you know, the 80s and the 90s kind of sound.
Yes, that's correct, especially with some of the keyboard works and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. The inspiration comes from searching on your keyboard new sounds, or by also listening to other old bands
Yeah, I'm also a big fan of the 80s, you know, from that era and from a lot of the music that came out at the time. And I believe that a lot of great melodies were written in the 80s. And also, I feel that a lot of the melody, even in pop music, a lot of the melodies were kind of minor based, and they had a certain melancholic vibe to it. And that's definitely some of the things that I like most about the 80s. And yeah, when I listen to music myself, I don't listen so much these days. I don't have as much time as I wish I had. I tend to spend most of the time working on my own music. But, you know, whenever I have the time to sit down and enjoy some music, quite often I put on music from, you know, 70s, 80s, and early 90s, old classical stuff that I used to listen to when I was growing up.
When you say... I sure you have a playlist with all the songs that you like, but it is hard rock, metal, or things like Depeche Mode, Yazoo, Cure, and things like that. Human League from the 80s, Visage. Because I'm wondering where came the cover of Desireless thing.
Yeah, you mentioned Depeche Mode, which is one of my favorite bands, actually. And yeah, those are definitely a band that I have listened to a lot over the years, and I'm still a big fan. And the song Voyage, Voyage, I remember hearing that on the radio the first time when I was a kid. I was playing in the radio in Norway, and the first time I heard it, the song like immediately caught my attention. You know, there was something kind of, you know, I felt like something magic about this song. And I think it has to do with that, what I mentioned earlier, you know, that it had that, it's a, first of all, it's a minor based song, and it has that melancholic feeling to it that I really liked instantly, you know. And the song also became a huge hit in Norway. It went to number one, and I think it did so mostly everywhere in Europe in the 80s. And yeah, I've been a big fan of that song ever since. And it's also a song that we have listened to a lot. At some point, you know, I also mentioned it to the rest of the band that it would be really cool to do a cover version of it, you know, and I kind of had some ideas in my head of how I wanted to arrange it and to do it and stuff. And but then we didn't think so much about it after that. And it was actually when I finished composing this album and we were going to start recording, then the pandemic broke out and the recording sessions were delayed quite a bit. So I had a lot of extra time all of a sudden. And that's when I decided, you know, to take this time and start working on the cover version of Voyage, Voyage. And, you know, Emmanuel came and did the vocals, and it turned out really cool. And so, yeah, we ended up, you know, being so happy with the result that we decided to put it as a bonus track on the album. And I thought it was, you know, kind of fitting as well, since the album to some extent was inspired by the 80s and this era. So it kind of would make sense, you know, to put a cover version from the 80s on the album as well.
And the magical thing is that the bonus tracks become a single for Sirenia.
Yeah, that wasn't actually planned. That was Napalm Records' idea. The band, I think we were more determined to do another song, but Napalm Records, they were so stoked about this cover song, you know, and they kind of begged us to do it, so we decided to go along with that, and we feel really happy about that now. It's a great song, and it seems that the fans really like it as well, which is very very unexpected, to be honest, at least by the younger generation, you know. But I think a lot of the people, you know, definitely my generation and the people that grew up with this song, maybe they have some relationship to it, you know. But yeah, the song has gotten fantastic reviews, and everybody seems to really like it. So that's really surprising and really cool, of course.
Yeah, and the magic of the thing, there's two magics in this. First thing, that the singer is French, so the pronunciation is perfect, with no accent. And the second thing is that the cover is really great, because for someone who doesn't know the song and the and didn't listen to it when the desireless thing, wow, it's you can say that it's a good it's a good metal song, you know, with a melody and nearly a hit. It can be a hit.
Yeah, it's a fantastic, fantastic cool song. And a really cool thing that happened the other day was actually that Desireless, the artist, she sent an email to Emmanuel saying that she really liked the song and that she wished us good luck and all that. So that was really, really cool to hear, you know, especially for me, who has been a fan since I was a kid, you know. That was really, really nice, really cool.
And the good thing is that a song like this, a cover like this, can extend the fan base of Sirenia, and can help Sirenia even to go on radios, to be broadcasted on radio that don't really broadcast metal.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe the sound is a little bit too heavy, at least for some of the radio stations. I don't know. But yeah, I think that the song definitely has, you know, potential to both reach metal and rock fans, as well as people, you know, that listen to music from the 80s and more softer music like pop music and such.
Yeah, so let's talk about the album, because in the album we talk too much of the bonus track, but not. Let's talk about the lyrics. The lyrics were written before or in the pandemic, the lockdown.
Most of them was written before, so I think it was basically just smaller details that I was finishing during the pandemic, but most of it was written before, yeah.
Yeah, and when you wrote the lyrics, what was the concern? What was your mood when you wrote them?
Yeah, always when I write lyrics, I always try to, you know, write about things or kind of describe the mood and the atmosphere, which is already there in the song, you know, in the compositions. So, you know, it's pretty much about trying to search for subjects to write about that fits with the atmosphere in the song already. And that is, I think, maybe one of those things that is, you know, getting a little bit more challenging with every album. Because at this point, I have written so many songs that it's kind of, you know, definitely more challenging to find new things to write about, you know, and you know, find different angles or whatever, or different ways, or how to renew myself with the words, with the music. I feel it comes very naturally. With the lyrics, it's a bit more challenging these days. But then again, of course, I like challenges. So yeah. It's just something that I have to, you know, jump into and do it. But yeah, it's, you know, it's, I kind of can feel that, you know, that it's been a lot of songs over the year. And every time I start writing, it's like, didn't I somewhere down the road, you know, write about this before or something like that? And sometimes, you know, I kind of have to start over and all that. But I guess it's a part of the game. And yeah, we just have to work with that.
On Sirenia, is the choice to write everything, or do you open even the composition to the other band members?
I kind of like composed the sketches of the songs, like the basis stuff, and then I have the other guys coming in with ideas and thoughts and so on. And Nils, he has been composing most of the solos on the album. I only made one solo. He did all the others, and he also composed some lead parts. And you know, he had many, you know, good ideas to me about the arrangements and stuff. I always, you know, send, as I'm working on the songs, I send versions to the band, and they listen to it, and sometimes, you know, they give me feedback. Yeah, maybe you can try to do something like this in this part or something like that. And then I work on that and I send it back to them. And you know, the other guys are helping as well. Michael, he is helping out with drum arrangements and that kind of stuff. And Emmanuel is also helping out with vocal parts and translating lyrics. And she's been also on previous albums, she even wrote some lyrics. And we also, you know, work very close together in the studio with the vocal recordings, you know, to kind of, you know, together find the correct emotion and atmosphere for each of the songs. And we play around with harmonies and stuff like that. So everybody has definitely, you know, helped making this album what it is today.
And for the solo part of the guitars of Nils, do you give him some orientation, or do you let him find his solo like he wants?
Yeah, I think on this album, he did exactly what he wanted. I just sent him the songs, and he did whatever he wanted, and everything just sounded genius right away. So that's all his credit, you know.
Yeah. So Martin Wieland is not a dictator in Sirenia.
No, I try not to be.
Okay, so Martin. Yeah. Look at this screen. Do you remember this?
Metal over Malta. Yes, of course. That's not so long ago, so I can still remember.
Yeah. And did you know that there was that day a Tunisian band?
Yeah, I remember because Timo, the guitar player, previous guitar
Timo
player
Summers,
from Berlin,
yeah.
Yeah, he was there to play with that other band. So we had some beers together, I remember. Yeah.
Carta Guts. That's it. Tunisian band, Carta Guts. You know, just down the weeping. And they played before you, I think. They were just the same day with Sirenia. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember they played right before. I think Timo forgot his the strap for his guitar, so he borrowed my guitar strap for that show. I remember.
Yeah, that's fine. Tell me, do you try to hear some other bands, some new bands? Do you try to know what's happening in the metal world, on the metal scene, the new music, the new bands, or
I try to, you know, to keep myself a bit updated.
Yeah,
I certainly don't have as much time for that as I wish I had. And for me, I tend to discover a lot of the new bands, you know, when I'm on tour, for example, because when we're traveling in the bus and maybe we're like 18, 20 people in the bus and everybody listens to different bands, and in the evenings, you know, different people is putting on different music. So actually when I'm on tour, I tend to discover a lot of new bands, for example. And also, you know, today with the streaming services and all the playlists and stuff, it's sometimes, you know, it can be quite easy today to discover new stuff as well, if you have the time for it. So I try to keep myself a bit updated, but I have to admit that I'm probably not as updated as I should be.
And when you put your streaming, you only listen to gothic metal music, or do you listen to other genres?
I listen to everything, yeah. Absolutely everything, whether it's classical music or black metal or death metal, or if it's symphonic metal or, you know, classic rock, old rock, if it's pop music from the 80s. I can find quality in most of the genres, and I really, you know, like to search for inspiration and learn also from all the different genres. So I always felt it was important as a musician, and especially as a composer, to keep an open mind and, you know, being able to listen to all kinds of music.
Yeah. Is Martin Wieland a workaholic?
Yeah, I think so. I'm probably spending a bit too much time with my work. For me, it's kind of, you know, music is for me my work, but it's also my hobby and my passion and everything. So I tend to spend a lot of time with it. Maybe a little less these days, you know, try to also have some time for, of course, friends and family and such. So, but yeah, I can work a lot, especially in periods, you know, for example, towards the end of an album recording or something, you know, where kind of, you know, work is piling up a bit, and it can be very long days.
Yeah. So I guess that you spent all your lockdown trying to find new music, trying to find new inspiration, trying to compose. I guess that your hard drive is plenty of the 11th album of Sirenia.
Yeah, I already, you know, started writing a few basic ideas for Sirenia. Yeah. But at the moment, I'm really writing a lot for, you know, spending this lockdown time to write for my solo project, Motemia, as well. So I'm working on a lot of new songs for Motemia, which I also intend to try to release this year. I'm working on a different project as well. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's basically just trying to use this this lockdown time for something positive. You know, trying to stay productive and creative, and you know, just use the time in the best possible way.
Having two musicians from France and another musicians, I think from Great Britain, from UK, the drummer. Isn't it something very difficult to maintain a band spirit?
No, it actually it's quite easy. With the band spirit, it's quite easy, you know. And we have a group chat on WhatsApp on our phone. So we talk to each other every day, the whole band together in the chat, and the distance never seemed to really be a problem either. I mean, until the pandemic came, and of course now we noticed that the distance is complicating things a bit. You know, I haven't really seen Nils and Michael since December 2019. You know.
Wow!
The last show of our last European tour, Emmanuel, she was in Norway in August last year to record her vocals. So yeah, I mean, when the pandemic broke out, then, you know, we definitely noticed the distance a lot more. Socially, we don't really notice so much with, you know, as we keep in touch every day, but practically and all that, it's, you know, it's kind of hard. There would be a lot of stuff we could do together still if we were living close to each other, even though we might not could do like live shows, you know, but it would be easy to set up maybe some streamings, or we could practice together and do stuff like that. But now even those things seems difficult with the COVID. So yeah, definitely looking forward to that situation being under control, and looking forward to see my band again and to start working and traveling and touring again.
But you know, I made an interview with Oddleaf of Communix two weeks ago. The three band members of Communix lives in Norway, but in three different cities, and it's the same problem. So,
yeah, I think even that could be a bit complicated. But being spread all around Europe like we are, that definitely doesn't make it easier for sure.
Yeah, and how did you manage for video clips? Because you need to have video clips to promote the album and to promote the songs. You can do only lyrics video.
Yeah, what we did this time, we were supposed to go to Belgrade in Serbia to record the videos, but you know, just a few days before we were supposed to travel. Then the travel restrictions came into action again, and we couldn't fly. So we ended up shooting locally, everybody, with a green screen. And then we sent all the stuff to Serbia, and they did the post-production for the video clip for Addiction Number One. And with the... We were lucky, you know, with the promo photos for the album, because, you know, we were on tour in December just before the lockdown, and we were taking some promo photos on that tour, actually, and that we didn't really use yet. And so when the pandemics and all that, you know, made it difficult for us to do new photo shoots, we ended up using the promo shoots that we did in December. So I mean, I mean, this whole album circle, you know, was kind of, you know, it was all about finding solutions, you know, and trying to adapt to the situation. And everything, mostly everything, is done a bit different than we would normally, how we would normally do it. So yeah, it was a very interesting and challenging album to make for sure.
Yeah. Remember this album, Riddles, Runes, and Revelations, the new Sirenia album. What is your expectation for this album, Morten?
I think it's a really, really strong album. It has really great songs on it. It's Sirenia with a new and kind of refreshed sound and style, I would say. I really think that the fans are going to enjoy it as soon as they get, you know, a week or two to listen to it a couple of times. And, you know, we're already starting to get, you know, really, really good feedback on the album already. I know that some of the fans were a bit skeptical after we released our first single, Addiction Number One. It's the song on the album that is, you know, most different from anything that we have done before. So I think some of the fans were maybe a bit shocked of the direction or of that song, you know, being maybe too different for some of the fans. I think maybe now, after, you know, they kind of digested the song a bit and been listening to it for some weeks, it seems that more and more people also, you know, start getting into that song. But the album is very diverse, I think, and there's plenty of material in there that is, you know, typical Sirenia stuff, and there's a lot of new stuff in there. So I think there will be a little bit for everybody on that album, you know, whether they prefer old stuff from the band, or whether they prefer the latest years, or whether they're hoping for something totally new. I think there will be a little bit in there for everybody.
Okay. Do you read the comments of the bands on your page, or on forums, or on groups, Facebook groups, on your Instagram?
Yeah, we try to keep track of that. I think the rest of the guys are more active on social media than me, but I definitely try to stay a little bit updated as well, you know, and to see what's going on and all that. So yeah, the band is definitely following those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you very much, Martin, for this interview.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know. Last word to fans?
We'd just like, you know, to say cheers to everybody, and for everybody to stay safe. You know, hopefully things get back to normal soon so we can see you all on tour again.
Yeah. You talked about addiction number one. We're going to close the interview by listening to it. What can you say about it?
Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, it's the first single from our album.
Yeah.
I think it's a very melodic and energetic song. It's has a very modern kind of style and vibe to it, you know, quite different from anything else that we have done in the past. But I think it's a really cool song, and it's definitely one of my favorite songs on the new album.
Thank you very much, Martin.
Thank you very much.